Kamloops Alliance Church, it is so good to be with you. My name is Dwayne Taves, and I am one of our assistant district superintendents overseeing licensing and ordination. And this weekend, we have the opportunity to ordain two of your pastors. And so this is an exciting time in the life of the church. It is an amazing day. And we have an opportunity to do something for just a few minutes that we don't do very often. And that is to connect the role of pastor to God's redeeming work in the world. You see, God created the world good. And we as humankind, we messed that up. And at the heart of God's redemption work, at the heart of God's desire to set what is wrong right again, is something called the incarnation, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if you're familiar at all with the biblical story, you know that after Jesus was dead and buried, he rose again on the third day and he ascended, scripture says, to be with his Father in heaven. And we read in Acts chapter 2 that the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the world. And really at that moment, the church was divinely created. If you read Paul's letters in the New Testament, you quickly come to understand that it's pretty hard to do gospel proclamation work in our own strength. And so God gives us gifts through his Spirit. We read about those gifts in Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says that some are called to be apostles, some are called to be prophets, some are called to be shepherds and teachers. And the longer that I have been in pastoral ministry, the more I have come to understand that there are teachers who have apostolic gifts. There are pastors who are incredible shepherds. God unpacks the gifts as he sees fit in our lives, which brings us to ordination. And so I just want to assume for a few minutes that not everybody watching on this particular video has been part of an ordination service before. And so let me just explain to you really briefly what ordination is. Ordination is defined by the Christian and Missionary Alliance in Canada, is the affirmation by the body of Christ, that's you, friends, family, congregation of Simon and Cody, that those being ordained are gifted and called by God for pastoral ministry. You recognize something in them. So often we come to an ordination service and we go, well, something's happening to our pastors and we're here to celebrate, and we are. But there's so much more going on. You've had an opportunity for years to watch what God is doing in and through them as they serve the bride here in Kamloops. And so ordination does not bestow upon Simon or Cody the ability to preach and teach or to preside over the sacraments like communion or baptism. That's what licensing does. And they went through that a number of years ago. But this is an affirmation by the body of Christ that they're gifted and called by God for pastoral ministry. And that affirmation comes not only from you, but it comes from our licensing and ordination committee in the Canadian Pacific District, which I oversee. It comes from your board of elders here at Kamloops Alliance Church. It comes from your lead pastor, Reverend Chris Thronis. It comes from our district superintendent, Reverend Mark Peters. And it comes from our denominational president, Reverend Darren Herbold. Some of you may go, well, what's the big deal? What have they done? What have they accomplished? Well, just for a couple of minutes, let me just give you a little window into all that they have done. Because maybe you've noticed over the last couple of years, they haven't responded to emails or phone calls maybe as quickly as they have in the past. That's because they've had a lot of work to do. They have been part of a cohort of learners, ordinands from across our province, in a two-year journey where they have come together for retreat and studied theology and some pastoral practices. They have written four major theological papers. They've read eight books and had to write papers on those books. They have had to preach four sermons to you and then have those sermons graded by the committee. That's a daunting task. And then after all of that was done, they sat before the licensing and ordination committee and they had a 2 to 2.5 hour theological conversation. And I've had the privilege of walking alongside both Cody and Simon, and I can assure you, friends and family, congregation of Kamloops Alliance, that they passed with excellence. theology had moved, it didn't just sit in their heads, it actually oozed out of their hearts. We got a great sense that God was at work in their lives. And I get asked this question all the time. How are our churches and our pastors doing? And having the privilege of walking alongside of Simon and Cody, I can say with great confidence that our churches and your church here in Kamloops is in great hands. So Simon and Cody, you've heard me talk about ordination. We have an understanding of what it is. But I want to, for just a few minutes, have a conversation with you that's rooted in a text that Paul gives as he's talking about what it means to be a leader in the Christian faith. And this text is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And I just want to read verses 1 to 5 for you. This is what it says. This then is how you ought to regard us, as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the mysteries that God has revealed. Now it's required that those who have been given a trust, that's you, must prove faithful. Paul says, I care very little if I'm judged by you or by any other human court. Indeed, I don't even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that's not what makes me innocent. It's the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and expose the motives of the heart. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. Cody and Simon, as we listen to Paul's words, it's really clear that you've been entrusted with gifts and you've been given a pretty profound calling, not only here, but to proclaim the name of Jesus in a broken world. And God's gracious invitation to you and your duty is to fulfill that trust. And when you think about fulfilling a trust, you think of someone who's a steward. And as you study the word steward, you come to understand that the primary characteristic of a steward is someone who is faithful. Faithful to the gifts and the calling that God has placed on their lives. And so the good news is that you don't have to do this alone. I know you know that. But all of heaven's resources are at your disposal. And so I think I could speak for your senior pastor, Chris, and I think I could speak for your board. Work hard, but don't worship your work. It is so important to understand that your family need you engaged in their lives. They don't take second place to the work at Kamloops Alliance Church. And so work hard, but don't worship your work. Continue to grow in skill. Keep learning. Ordination isn't the end of a journey. It really is the beginning of a journey. And so understand that Holy Spirit anointing is way more important than any skill that you're going to learn in pastoral ministry. Make sure you continue to preach the word of God, not the word of Simon and Cody. Keep studying the book. Immerse yourself in it. And then in Paul's text, you are charged, as we all are, with keeping a clear conscience. Cultivate a listening ear to the voice of the Spirit. And as you do pastoral ministry, wherever it is God calls you to, continue to walk in that light. Cody, Simon, it really is a privilege to be here on this ordination day for you. I am so proud of you guys to be able to give you this charge, to be able to stand with you, to affirm that God has done, will continue to do, and has continued to prove himself faithful in your ministry is just a joy for me to walk alongside of you. And so I congratulate you today. Well done. Well done. Well done. So I'd love to pray for you as we continue journeying together. Father, I thank you for the gifts and the calling that you have placed on Cody and Simon's life. I thank you that they are faithful to the calling that you've given them. I thank you that they honor the truth of your word as they preach it. And Father, I just ask that you would place a hedge of protection around them as they minister here in this community, at this church, with the people that you have placed under their care. May the plans that the enemy has for them be thwarted. May they lean into your Spirit and the gifts that you want to pour out upon them. Father, I pray that they would continue to dive deep in your word. And as they do, may the truth of your word rise up in their spirit and be proclaimed in this place. And so God, we love them, we care about them, and we just say thank you for them and for their ministry here. and we bless them in your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, guys, this is exciting. And I'll start with you, Cody. On behalf of the Christian and Missionary Alliance in Canada, and particularly on behalf of our president, Reverend Darren Herbold, it's my privilege to hand you this certificate and really declare, maybe for the first time, that you are Reverend Cody Barendreck. Congratulations, man.
Thank you.
So good. And Simon, again, on behalf of the Christian Missionary Alliance in Canada, and on behalf of our denominational president, Reverend Darren Herbold, it is my privilege to present this certificate of ordination and declare for the first time that you are Reverend Simon Martin. Well done. Well done. For just a few minutes, we want to hear a response from Cody and Simon.
Hello, Kamloops Alliance Church Online. Just to clarify at the outset, I'm Simon, that's Cody, in case anyone doesn't know that. I just want to say, too, it's really neat that we get to be doing this together. Cody and I didn't know each other when I started here, but Cody's become a good friend and a guy I really look up to and admire a lot, and we're fortunate to have him here at the church. So this is just cool we get to do this together. As many of you know, prior to coming here, Chantel and I were missionaries overseas. And in fact, I can trace out my own personal journey to overseas ministry back to about grade 9, and sort of event by event and different circumstances leading that way. And even in when I ended up at Bible college, my degree is in intercultural studies, so all of my classes, most of my experience pointed in that way as well. And so the thought of becoming or being a pastor in a local church in North America never even crossed my mind, not even once. So in Bible college, I never took preaching classes. I never took Hebrew or Greek or any of these other sort of pastory classes. And I didn't have a whole lot of vocational, local church-based ministry experience either. And so I don't really have the time here to trace out all of how our time in Kenya ended and really how God redirected my family and I here to Kamloops Alliance. Some of you know that story. But I will say this. It didn't take long after starting here that I began to realize that there's a lot that transfers from overseas ministry to ministry here. And so all this effort through the years that I'd put into learning and practicing how to know and understand a person from a different culture than my own, well, it turns out people here also have a desire to be known and to be understood. So it's in those moments especially that I just feel incredibly privileged to be in this role. So whether that's in difficult, deep conversations in my office or in the raw vulnerability of a Genesis process group or walking alongside you as you process grief or being in silence in a hospital room, these are the kinds of moments that I especially just love being a pastor here. I think because it's those moments that force me to rely more on Jesus, because just between me and you, it's those moments where I really just feel in over my head, but Jesus isn't and never is, and so I will just try to do my best to keep pointing you to him. So thank you, Kamloops Alliance, for your grace and patience shown to me as I continue to learn how to pastor. Well, in the process of being hired here, so before I was actually hired, but I'd come up for sort of a discernment weekend, I heard an older gentleman who had found out why I was there, and I overheard him say loud enough that everyone around, including myself, could hear him say this. He said, "I just thought the guy we'd be hiring would be at least middle-aged." Well, I'm 3.5 years closer to middle age now, and I have learned a ton in that time, and I look forward to so much more that God has to teach me. When I applied for this role, I didn't realize that a year in, I would be thrust into a 2-year ordination process. So had I only known, it was good. It was hard, and there were difficult parts of it, but I know that I gained value out of it. I do want to just take this opportunity to thank the staff team that I get to be a part of. I just want to say directly to them, it is a joy and a privilege to serve alongside you. I want to also thank the elders. The elders here are a group who are just incredible individuals and incredibly supportive of us as staff. Before I started here, when I was up here for that discernment week, and I had a chance to meet with both the staff and the elders, and what struck me at both those meetings is how much those people laughed together. And I just remember thinking, these people genuinely like each other and enjoy each other's company. And it was refreshing. I also want to take this opportunity to not only thank, but also honor my wife, Chantel. She not only put up with the extra hours where I needed to write these papers or study for ordination, but she also went out of her way to give me times and spaces to do that. On top of all that, and even more importantly, she consistently takes opportunities to build into our kids and to talk to them about Jesus and to model Jesus to our kids. Her passion and her desire to know God deeper and to grow more and more in her faith continually challenge and inspire me. So she is the best, and I love her a ton, and that's all the mushy stuff. So all in all, I am grateful to be on this side of ordination, of the ordination process. And although there were certainly times throughout where it felt like one more thing, there were a couple moments I can remember specifically where Jesus just broke through the routine of it or the mundane of it and moved me in a fresh and life-giving way. So while prepping for the first sermon that I preached here for an ordination requirement, I remember I was sitting at my dining room table one evening and I was prepping for the sermon, and God just so moved me by the text I was preaching on. It was like he was preaching through his word to me as I prepared for that sermon. And I just remember that moment because it was in that moment he was teaching me the importance of ministering out of first being ministered to. Ministering to others out of a place of being ministered to. And again, later on, toward the end of the ordination process, I was studying for the interview, that two and a half hour, I like how Dwayne put it, as a conversation that we had about our theology. And so as I was prepping for that and studying, and I was memorizing different definitions and scripture references for all these different theological truths like regeneration and sanctification, justification. And in the middle of that, I didn't really see it coming, but as I was studying this stuff, there was a moment where I was just floored by the gravity of all that Jesus is and did and does. And in that moment, it moved beyond theological terms into a deep, sort of beyond gut level appreciation and really worship of Jesus. And I say that because it's in this kind of vein, it's in this way that I hope to be able to pastor. As one who strives to live, lead, and serve in a way in which theology, what we believe about God, moves beyond the head and really intersects with the messy, raw, chaotic reality of everyday life. So we do this in churches where when we're in the process of hiring a pastor, they often come up for a weekend without the congregation generally knowing who they are or why they're there. So some of the other pastors will know, and the elders probably, and a handful of other people. But there's this sort of thing where you come up and you're sort of undercover. And so that weekend that I was invited up and I came to a Saturday evening church just to check things out. They wanted me to see the church, what it was like. And you sort of feel like a spy, right? Because you come in, people don't know you, don't know why you're there. And so I made my way in and sat down more or less by myself. And within a few minutes, a man and his wife sat beside me. And I won't mention who it is because I know he wouldn't want me to. But during the service, in the greet your neighbor section of the service, he interacted with me in such a caring, curious way. And just with a lot of authenticity, and he was just so genuine. And obviously, I couldn't tell him too much because I was undercover. But by the end of the service, this gentleman was praying for my children, and specifically for my son, who was having a bunch of medical complications at the time. And I just remember thinking, well, if this kind of thing is normal for this church, then I'm in. I can find a home here. I continue to see God moving this church more and more into being authentic community, where individuals don't need to feel like they have to present themselves as perfect or polished, but is also a community who encourages and challenges one another, and as really as we as a community apprentice Jesus together. Romans 1:16 says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes." So, Casey, I guess my encouragement and challenge from this moment is that we would, as the local church here, be people who continually strive to proclaim and live out the good news of Jesus Christ in our homes and in our community. Thank you.
Oh, Simon, that was great. Yeah, my name is Cody, in case you forgot already, which does happen, I get. But yeah, like Simon said, it is really a joy that we get to do this together. I know, like, I was done a little bit earlier than you technically, but it's been great to do ministry together, to do life together. Like you said, I consider you to be one of my great friends here in town. And if you don't know him, get to know him because he's awesome. But yeah, I want to just share some thoughts as well myself. And some of that is just a little bit about my journey moving into ministry. And if you would have asked me when I was like in my early teen years that I'd be standing here right now as a pastor, let alone someone who just got ordained, I probably would have laughed and said, no way, when I'm 32, I'm going to be contemplating whether or not I continue my long career in the NHL and pursue one or two more Stanley Cups. That's probably what I would have told you when I was an early teenager. And then even as I got older and I got involved in like youth group and leading there and kind of started feeling like something maybe was along this line coming with church and ministry and all of that, I probably would have said, no, like I'll be a good leader, maybe like on the board, but like a pastor ordained, no chance. And then all of that began to shift, I think, as God really began to pull me into this journey and lots of prayer and back and forth. God and I had a lot of back and forth in these years of just like, no, I don't want to do that. And him going, yes, you should. And then just having some of my family, my friends and my mentors at the time really speak and encourage and affirm me in this. In fact, I remember one of my mentors at the time, he must have been like praying hard for me because I had a moment one night where I said, you know what? No, God, I'm in. I'm going to go to Bible school, maybe become a pastor. That's what I'm going to do. And I went and I told him and he like shoved me against the wall and was like, finally. And that was just a real clear moment for me. But even more so, I remember actually being in an ordination service myself at my old church. One of the pastors there was becoming ordained that weekend. And I remember sitting there not really knowing exactly what was going on, but knowing that there was something of significance happening. And the same mentor who like shoved me against the wall as an encouragement, he found me after the service and he said, Cody, I cannot wait to be at your ordination service. He's not able to be here. He won't be able to join us in the house this weekend, but I know he's watching online. So I am just so grateful for you and just your work in my life. And just that moment that really began to stick in my head as I entered school, as I went through school, as I began here at KC, and as I journeyed through this ordination process, that was always something that stuck in the back of my head. My journey here at KC has been adventurous. I want to say first that I love KC. First that I love KC. I, like Simon, kind of did like a secret trip in before I was hired. So I was in kind of the interview process. And I just like my wife and kids, we snuck in for a weekend and just sat in the service. And we left that service thinking and telling each other that we would be coming home. Like if we came to KC, if we got this job, it would feel like we were coming home. So it was so good. And that's still the feeling we get here at KC, that this is a place that we love to call home. We love the faithfulness, the graciousness, the generosity, the resilience and the intentionality of KC. It's just this long legacy of people who follow after Jesus with passion and a desire to see his kingdom grow in the city. And I am so excited to be a part of this community here at KC. We all know that the last few years have been pretty adventurous, but I'd say even for me, the last 4.5 since I've started at KC have been pretty adventurous too. And there's many of you who have taught me what it looks like to slow down, what it looks like to listen more, to be more compassionate, which if you know me is not something I naturally tend to do. But you have taught me in your love and your care for me have taught me how to do these things. And I'm so grateful for being in this place. I'm grateful to those of you who have really come alongside me. Like the youth ministry world is wild. And there have been a number of you that have come alongside me, and I know you pray for me, and you pray for my family, you pray for the things that are going on in the youth and young adults ministry here, and you've come and you've encouraged, you've challenged. Some of you are parents of students, grandparents of students. Some of you are students yourselves, and you have just been all part of this journey for me, so I really want to say thank you. Thank you for your continued support and care and love for me and my family. It really makes a difference, and I love that about this church, that we care. We want to be a part of a community. We want to grow together, and that we won't quit. KC, if you don't know anything about KC online, you're watching, we are a church that will not quit. There's a great video. If you want, go to our website and watch it. It's awesome. But just a legacy of people who are committed to the work that God wants to do here. So I'm so excited to be a part of it. I like Simon, had many moments during my ordination process of kind of going like, holy, this is a lot. I don't know when I'm going to get my regular job done. But it was so beneficial, and there was many moments, and I remember processing some of these things out with my wife and even my son as he's hearing it. And I didn't come from the Alliance background. So one of the most meaningful moments for me in this whole process was as I was learning about the Alliance's kind of like background in healing and really leaning on Jesus to be you know, the healer. And I remember processing this because I wasn't familiar with it. I was a little bit uncomfortable with it. And then I picked up my son from school one day and he had scraped his knee or something. And in that moment, as I'm picking him up, before he even says anything else, he just goes, "Dad, can we pray right now that Jesus would heal my knee?" And he had heard us talk, my wife and I talking about just this stuff, and he was beginning to see that, oh yes, Jesus can heal. So it was just so cool, and I'm so grateful for getting to dive into just some of this stuff with ordination, learning more about it, and being challenged by it, and really just growing through it. So it's been a great learning process for me, and I'm so excited to have done it, be done it now, and be doing this. I also want to thank our team here, our staff team. It's so great. Like, not everyone gets to come every day to a place that they love to work, to come to work with friends, and it's so great to be a part of this team. So thank you for how you love and how you care, how you pray for me, and how you pray for us. It's so great to be a part of this team. And like Simon said, the elders. You guys do so much, and you care, and you support, and you lead us well. To my beautiful wife Rebecca, you carry a large burden. Being the wife of a pastor, you carry a large burden, and you do so well. So thank you for allowing me to process, for allowing me to vent, for allowing me to celebrate with you. And for caring for our boys, and for, you know, helping us stay committed to Jesus. It's so great to do this journey with you. KC, I'm just excited. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited that we get to keep doing this stuff together. A number of years ago, as I was reflecting and thinking, God brought me to this psalm, this couple of verses in Psalm 27. And in it, the psalmist writes, "I remain confident of this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Wait for the Lord. Be strong. take heart and wait for the Lord. And that's just been something that has really been guiding me over the last couple of years, that I am convinced and I am so excited for what God wants to do, not just with KC, but specifically with the young people of KC and in this city. What he wants to do in and through them, and I am so excited to keep going because, again, we're a church that doesn't quit. So church family, those of you that are watching us online, if you're not from KC and you're watching, hey, thanks, keep praying for us. And we are excited to keep on going because God is not done and he wants to keep going through us. Thanks a lot.
Hey, wasn't that amazing? Again, the reminder and the gratitude that I have, and I think you have too, that these guys, Simon and Cody, could be anywhere else, and yet God has given them to us here. And he's given you to them. And so this is a beautiful relationship of pastor and congregation. I think it's just an amazing moment that we get to celebrate their journey as well. Hey, we want you to stay connected to our community. If you text connect to the number on your screen, you get a text message on Friday with all the cool stuff that's going on here at our church. Again, thank you for trusting us. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.